Praise God. Amen. We're good. Let's get started. Hallelujah. Good evening. I just want to bring you up to date, everybody. We're getting ready to transition through the end of the year, the beginning of the spring, until we get in the spring and the winter months, and we're going to be changing up our evening services. We're going to move to small groups, and we're going to have several small group locations in the next couple weeks, and then we're going to learn to grow and get stronger in the Lord. Amen? You know, God doesn't just want us to know about Him. He desires for us to know Him, you know? And many people, and you can talk to a lot of people, and they know about God, but they really don't have a relationship. They don't know Him. And so that's the area in which we want to move into, is building an intimate relationship with the Lord. You know, have you ever asked the question, what's God's will? Or what's God's will for my life? What God wants me to do? And you these questions come before us. And I want to build a little thing. In 1 Kings chapter 19, when Elijah went up to meet with God, and sometimes people get confused with this, when he went to meet with God, there was a strong wind that rent the rocks, and God wasn't in the wind, but we know He's been in the wind before. He came in like a mighty rushing wind in the day of Pentecost. Then the Bible says there was an earthquake, and He wasn't in the earthquake, but we know He was in the quake with Paul and Silas when they were singing praises in the middle of the prison when the prison doors were open and their bands were loosed. And the Bible says there was a fire, and He wasn't in the fire, but we know He's been in the fire, like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3. He was the fourth person, the Son of God, in the midst of the fire. So we know He's been in those places, but He said He was the still small voice behind all of the ruckus. And so many times in life, have you ever been in a room, for example? I come from a big family. Have you ever been in a room where the family was all gathered in one area, and you had maybe the TV going, and there was kids playing, and maybe some music playing, and there was all kinds of noise in the room, and then you got a telephone call? And you're talking to the individual on the telephone, and you only hear about every third word. And you tell them to speak up, I can't hear you. Well, that's sometimes what it is like with God when we're looking and we're seeking the will of God in our lives. So many times there's so much activity going on. There's so much noise. There's so much disruption that sometimes we get confused in hearing the true voice of God. You know, he speaks softly from within. So when I was looking at this, the Lord took me to John chapter 7. So if you'll go there with me tonight, John chapter 7, verse number 16. And the Word of God says, "And Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?" And when I was reading this, I kind of can relate and somewhat with this, when I'm ministering, I'm speaking God's word to the people, and they're taking it as coming from me and not coming from God. And it's God's word, not our word. And what Jesus was saying, He was saying, I'm speaking to you the word from heaven. Every time we speak God's word, it's a word from heaven to you and I. And Jesus was saying, it's not my doctrine, it's His. It's not for my glory, it's for His glory. So when we gather together, we're not gathering here to bring glory for ourselves. We're here to bring glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. To him is all the glory. So let me get this out of my way before I trip over it. So tonight, I want to speak to you out of verse number 17. And I'm handed out a worksheet, and in this worksheet I handed you is so that you can take notes, so that you can follow along, because this is vitally important for all of us and the direction that we're going as a ministry. Verse 17 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. The title of this evening's word is, His Will, His Way, Always. And I was trying to go with the song, but it's Your Will, Your Way, Always, but he'll pardon me. And when I was looking at that word, will, it comes from the Greek word, thelema. Thelema. And thelema means to purpose, to plan, or for his pleasure. So it's for his purpose, his plan, and for his pleasure is what we're going to look at tonight. So look at your neighbor and say, his will, thelema, his purpose, his plan, his pleasure. What we're doing, everything we do is for his pleasure. Can we lift the word tonight and then make a declaration? I kind of enjoy doing this. Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. Tonight, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord, for I'm listening in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is more in a line of teaching, and we're just going to expound on the scriptures a little bit. So first thing, what comes to your mind when you think of God's purpose? God's purpose. You know, when I look at God's purpose, yeah, turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse number 27. The word of God says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because it maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And you know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So first, when we're looking at the purpose of God, you know, the Bible says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when we're looking at the will, the thelema, the purpose, plan, and for his pleasure. There was a midlife farmer, and he was a middle-aged farmer, and this middle-aged farmer always had a desire to be an evangelist. So one day he was out working in his field, and he got tired, and he went and he sat under a shade tree in his field. And as he was resting there, he looked up into the sky, and in the clouds there was the letters PC. And immediately this farmer said, ah, God wants me to preach Christ. So he sold his farm and he went out in the evangelistic field, and the problem was he was a horrible preacher. And after he was suffering and trying, going through all tribulation, his next door neighbor was a farmer also. And the farmer came over and said, man, I'm really excited. He said, what are you so excited about? He says, I saw in the clouds, plant corn, PC, plant corn. I planted corn and I had the best harvest ever. And I'm going to plant some corn here tonight. Now, what I'm saying is not everything that appears to be what it isn't always what it appears to be. In other words, the Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask of God, because he giveth liberally and it breaketh not. See, I believe if this farmer would have took the time to say, Lord, what does the PC mean? Show me, reveal to me. He might not have, not that God didn't want him to be an evangelist. Amen. Not that he didn't want him to go and share the gospel. You know, I heard this cute little story about this little boy. It kind of reminded me of me. This little boy, he was telling, went up to his mom and said, Mom, when I grow up, I want to be a preacher. She said, you want to be a preacher? He said, yes, Mommy, I want to be a preacher. She looked at him and she said, well, that's admirable. Why, can you tell me why you want to be a preacher? He thought for a moment. He said, Mom, he said, I have to go to church anyway. If I'm a preacher, at least I get to stand up and holler. But when I'm looking at the purpose of God and God's will, there's three things I want to share in the purpose of God. The three R's. I believe God calls us to repent, to regard others, and to resist the devil. God has a purpose in your life, and he has a purpose in my life. You know, to repent. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises like some men count slackness, but he is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. In other words, God desires for you and I to turn. To turn. You know, when I look at this in life, we find so many times, and I'm seeking God, what does God purpose me to do? He purposes me to turn and follow him. You know, that's the purpose of my life. So many times people wonder, well, Pastor, I don't know what my gift is, and I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, you know what I suggest? Follow him. And he'll reveal it to you. You know, the closer we get to him, the more we understand. You know, and secondly, I believe it's important for us to regard others. To regard others. In Luke chapter 10, there was a lawyer. In verse number 25, it says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? I want you to understand that he says he wants you to love the Lord with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and everybody. Who is your neighbor? Whosoever. Everyone is our neighbor. God wants us to love our neighbors as ourselves. That doesn't mean our neighbor is doing what I'm doing. Doesn't necessarily mean. I want you to mean that they're going to always be like us. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. God hates sin, he loves the sinner. Amen. So what we can do, if we want to be answering the will of God, the first will for God for you and I in Christ is to repent, turn and start following. Secondly, it's to regard others, to have a regard for each other, to put others above yourself. You know, in other words, we don't take first place. Jesus gave us the greatest example of all because he came to serve. Who is the greatest among you? Whomever is the greatest servant. So as children of God, as we're looking and seeking the God's purpose in our lives, we're seeing that first, you know, we're repenting, we're turning our lives around, we're regarding others. And thirdly, he wants us to resist the devil. You know, first James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, when we draw, we need to resist the devil and draw nigh to God. You know, as we're, when we sang that song, I love that song, Show Me Your Way, the way that I can walk with you. Amen? And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing when we're gathered together in this atmosphere. We're here to encourage one another, to build one another up, to comfort one another with the God's word, and to get stronger. You know, in these last days, it's going to take some strong Christians to withstand. It's going to take some strong Christians to withstand. You know, so when we're here and we're gathered together in this atmosphere, I want you to understand there's nothing wasted. There's nothing wasted. So we find it in the thelema, the will of God, the purpose is he purposes for you and I to repent, turn towards him, to regard others, and to resist the devil. And, you know, I went those three because it's just, you know me, I like letters and words that go along with each other. They're easy to follow. So what does God purpose us to do? Repent, regard one another, and resist the devil and draw nigh to him. Amen? So that's his purpose in your life. Now, I'm not talking about the gifts of God that are in your life. I'm not talking about different things. I'm talking about just your walk with the Lord. You know, just how we walk with him. You know, how we're opening up the doors of communication with him. How we're learning his voice. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. And you will never know his voice without spending intimate time with him in quiet time. When there's not all the busyness all around. It's a still small voice. And I don't hear him outside. I've heard him outside, but I normally hear him inside. It's a voice within, and I know it's him. Because he says, I know his voice. And when I'm spending time with him, you know, he always speaks to me according to his word. He'll never go outside of his word. And if it's outside of his word, he's the liar. He's not the Lord speaking. You know? So as we're looking at this tonight, that his will, his way, always as we're walking and learning to walk with him. First, we find that word, the lema, purpose. And the second word we have is the plans. The plans. Look with me in Psalms 33. Psalms 33, verse number 11. Says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. You know, the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts and the plans I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts for good and not for evil, to give you a hope and an expected end. Amen? So when we're looking at the plan, now, we've got have you ever seen like a stereo or a piece of equipment, if you open up the back of it, there's usually a schematic of the electronics and how they're connected and how they work. And if you're not into that or know about it, it really doesn't mean a whole lot to you. Now, when I see a schematic of a stereo, it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But it's a scheme how one thing works to make another thing work. And this is our schematic. This is our plan. This is the book that God gave us as a schematic. This is our life. This will show us everything that we're to be. You know, when he says in his word that before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, I knew you by name. He says that every hair on your head is numbered. He knows you're coming in and you're going out. He knows you're standing up and you're sitting down. He knows every idle word that proceeds out of your mouth. There's nothing that passes his notice, you know. So he notices everything. And so when I'm looking at that, the Lord took me to Hebrews 4:12, and we're going to go there just for a minute and look at this plan that the Lord has. Hebrews 4:12, again, this is a familiar scripture. The Word of God says, for the Word of God is quick. The Word of God is energetic. It's lively. It's active. The Bible says it's powerful. It comes from the Greek word energes, which means it's operative. It's flowing. And how it flows, the power is the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen? So if we know the truth, it'll make us free. For example, let's say we're riding down the road, and we come upon a road sign that says, slow down, dangerous curve ahead. And we have three options. We can heed the sign and slow down. We could continue our same speed. Or we could possibly speed up and see how fast we can take the dangerous curve. The point I'm making is this. No matter what how you react, whether you take heed, drive your speed you were going, or speed up, it doesn't change the truth. The truth is, it's still a dangerous curve. In other words, when we're speaking God's word, it's always the truth. It's how we apply it and what we do with it to determine the outcome. See, no matter how fast or how slow you took the curve, it didn't change the fact that it was a dangerous curve. And that's what God wants you to understand about the truth of his word. You see, the word ain't going to change. What you do with it is up to you. What I do with it is up to me. But it's the truth. You know, and how I adjust my life to the truth is what's going to determine my outcome. It's going to determine what happens to me. I could be really bullheaded and say, hey, I could take this curve and speed and speed up and take that curve and I wreck. And I could say, God, why did you allow this happen to me? And what would God say? I gave you a warning. I gave you my word. I gave you the truth. And you determine what you do with it. I determine what I do with the truth. And that's what he's saying when he said, you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free if you take heed to it. Amen? You know, he says, for it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder in soul and spirit, and joints and marrows, and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word goes deep. It searches the very core, the very inside, the very being, our very heart. You know, and I see this, and I see what God's plans are. The plans are for us for good and not for evil. He gives us a hope and an expected end when we take heed to the truth. God didn't just say this just for the sake of speaking. Some people talk just to hear themselves speak. God just doesn't talk and so he can hear himself talk. God's given us the schematic. He's given us a plan to have a successful life. Amen. You know, that we have a great, bright future. Amen. No matter what we go through in this life, we know we have hope of tomorrow. Amen. We have the hope in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, he would have told us. He'd gone to prepare a place for you and I. And if he went to prepare a place for us, he'll come again for us that where he is, we may be also. Hallelujah. So no matter what's going through, I know the truth. No matter what the adversary brings my way, I know the truth. I know that he said all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose or according to his will, and everybody in the room has been called according to his purpose and to the will of God. Amen? That says volumes to me, and it should say volumes to you. You know, in Psalms 139, verse number 1 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness as the light of both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in the mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Amen. Amen. You know, when I look at this and I look at the schematic and I'm looking at the plans, I don't know about you. I'm one of them guys that always tried to put things together without looking at the directions. And the things never really worked right. And always had all these leftover parts. Amen. So when God gave us this schematic, this plan book, it's so that we could do it right. Amen. And you know what? You know what he says? He says, you and I can do all things through Jesus Christ that strengthens us. And when we read some of the things and we see some of the things that we don't feel we can do or we don't feel like we can comprehend, he's given us a helper, he's given us a teacher, he's given us an advocate, he's given us a friend, he's given us the Holy Spirit that will teach us all things and bring to remembrance whatsoever the Lord has said to you and I. And when I get to that place that I feel like I can't do it, all of a sudden I recognize I can do it through him. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Amen. In other words, when I get to that place in the schematic book and I said, man, I can't put this part together, that's when I got to trust him. And God will give us revelation and he will give us understanding. You know, it's like our life. Our life is on this side of glory. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. You know, and I was looking at that, and just imagine this. On this side of glory, how many have seen a tapestry? You know what a tapestry is, okay? Have you ever seen the backside of a tapestry where you can almost make out what it is, but you can't quite? And it looks all rough and strings hanging everywhere. Well, that's what this side of glory is sometime. But God, on the other side of glory, is going to reveal the picture. If you look on the other side of the tapestry, you'll see it's a beautiful piece of art. And God has established a beautiful piece of art in each and every life that's in this room. You may go through times where that art or your light maybe seem all messed up like the backside of that tapestry. But God just wants you to get a picture. He says he'll reveal the deep things to you. He wants you to see the picture. That you're a beautiful picture being manufactured by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, I watched Hannah paint. And when Hannah's painting, she'll paint, and then she'll come back in, she'll paint over some things, and she'll come back and she'll paint over some things, and she'll come and paint over some things. And that's the way our lives are for the kingdom of God. Amen. That God is creating a beautiful picture. And we're a work that's in progress. Amen. And God is creating this beautiful thing that some of us will not see everything till we get on the other side of glory and we'll see how beautiful that picture was. You know, I was reading this little article about Walt Disney. In 1937, Walt Disney made the first full-length animated movie. It was called Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, there was over 1 million paintings for that one movie. Artists that maybe every 24th of a second there was a new painting, a new picture. So when you see that, and that's the way our lives are being established in the kingdom of God. Amen. Sometimes things, you might not see the whole picture. Things are moving. Things are happening. You know, it's just like, we're a full-length movie. Amen. And in this full-length movie, I see the Bible says we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I can see all the fans waving us on. As this movie, as this picture is being established in our life. I just want you to understand, in God's eyes, you're a beautiful picture. That He created you perfect. Amen. And the only imperfection that we have is sin. Sin is what it imperfects us. And God's helping us move past this. So we find the thelema. The thelema is God's purpose. It's God's plan. It's also God's pleasure. Pleasure. You know that God takes pleasure in you? You know, so many times we beat ourselves up so much because we're imperfected and we make mistakes and so forth. But I look at my children and my grandchildren as a grandfather and as a father. Even when there was error or mistakes, I loved them. It didn't change my love. It didn't change the way I thought about them. It doesn't change a father's love. And God wants you to know, in this experiencing God and getting in a relationship with Him, in an intimate relationship with Him, that God loves you and God's proud of you. Amen? 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 You see, you know, I hear from them so many times when I feel like I fail and when I feel like I didn't accomplish what He wanted me to accomplish and I get done what He wanted me to get done, I always hear Him saying with a sweet sound voice, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You know, good and faithful doesn't necessarily mean that you're always going to get everything done that needs to be done. You know, but at the same time, we're going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. So nothing that we're doing for the kingdom is in vain. Philippians chapter 2. Verse number 13, for His pleasure. Amen. The Word of God says in verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know, when we treat others, when we love others, we please God. We bring Him pleasure. You know, when we're submissive to our elders, we bring Him pleasure. When we treat the unlovable, when we love the unlovable, some people can be unlovable. God, it brings Him pleasure. So when you're doing the will of God, you're not only fulfilling His purpose in your life, not only following His plan in your life, but the things we do to bring God pleasure. Amen. I know there was little things as a boy that I used to do for my dad to make my dad happy, to please my dad. And that's what I want to do. With my whole heart, I want you to understand something. With my whole heart, there is nothing more important to me than to please God. I want to bring Him pleasure.
I know there's a times when he just looks at the Son, the Holy Ghost, he says, man, that's my boy. Amen. Amen. So God's got a plan in our lives. And he wants us to bring him pleasure. And Colossians chapter 3. I believe that we bring God pleasure by putting off the old and putting on the new. Amen. In Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8 says, but now ye have also put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and ye have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him who created him. I believe when we are becoming what pleases God is when he sees you and I becoming the image of his Son. Amen? As we're allowing God to transform our lives. Remember, Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You know, he says there, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your good and your reasonable service. So what we're saying here is what brings God pleasure first is when we please him, when we become like his Son. Amen? I believe we please him when we're content. Hello? You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen? In other words, when I'm out here worrying about having what the Joneses have, I usually get myself in a mess. God didn't call me to keep up with the Joneses. God called me to keep up with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? You know, so when we're looking at this, we're godliness with contentment. I'm becoming the image of Jesus. I'm content. I'm content. And Philippians 3, I'm pressing forward. You know, let me say this. Nobody has arrived. This isn't like going to JMU or University of Virginia or Virginia Tech and getting a master's or a PhD. You'll still never know it. You've got to continue learning God's word. Amen? You know, and if we get to the place where we think we already know it, we're in trouble. He says in Philippians 3, verse number 12, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to what have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing forward. Amen. So I believe, how am I bringing God pleasure? I'm bringing God pleasure when I'm becoming the image of his Son. I'm bringing God pleasure when I'm content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm bringing God pleasure when I'm pressing forward, when I'm learning, when I'm growing. When I'm taking the word and I'm allowing it to become part of my being, and all of a sudden this word becomes life inside you and I. So we find that God's will, God's way, always the thelema, which is his purpose, his plan, and his pleasure. In Ephesians chapter 1, if you've never noticed something about your pastor, your pastor loves the word of God. It's his word, not my word. Amen.
And I believe that his word is what will speak volumes to our hearts and our lives. He says in Ephesians 1:9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven or which are on earth, even in him, and whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. And that's what the Lord is saying to you and I tonight in closing. If his will, his way, always in his life is he's purpose in your, he has a purpose in your life. And his purpose, the purpose is for you and I to repent, to turn to him, to regard others, and to resist the devil. He has a plan in our lives. His plan is for good and not for evil. He gives each and every one of us a hope, and he gives us an expected end. Amen. And when I'm holding on to the hope of eternal life, even though I'm faced with tribulation and trials of this life, I still hold on to the promise. I still have to see. You know, because that's why the Bible says if you don't have vision, you'll perish. And if you haven't caught a glimpse of heaven and what God has prepared for you, I suggest that you get on your face and ask God to show you and reveal it to you. He'll reveal you things. He says, I'll show you the deep things of God. He'll reveal to you and I through the Spirit. Just like John the Revelator, he took him to the presence of God. God will show you heaven. Amen? He'll show you the glory of God. You know, you might not get to go there like John the Baptist caught up in a vision to heaven, you know, but at the same time, he'll reveal these things to you. The Bible says the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen? So we find that we have his will is the purpose and a plan in for his pleasure, God's pleasure. Amen? So I think it's important for us as a body of believers to learn intimacy. Intimacy. And as we're allowing ourselves to be opened up and allowing God to minister to our hearts and lives through the word, he gave us the word of truth. And we look at that and says, and you'll know the truth, and it's the truth that's going to make you free. God doesn't promise you and I that we're not going to go through some things in this world. We're going to go through some things. But praise God, we're never going to go through anything alone. Amen. He's given us a helper. He's given us this word. He's given us a body of believers. He's given us other people to encourage us. Amen? Amen? And that's when we look at it, and we look at this, and we say, hey, man, God's word is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen? So his word is what's going to do the operation in our hearts and transform us into the image of Jesus. Amen? Amen? So in the weeks to come, that's what we're going to do, and that's the direction we're heading. We're heading in the direction to get intimate, to experience God, to learn more about relationship. Amen? Not only relationship with God, but relationship with one another. And that's where we're going to go to the small groups. And we're going to gather here probably about once every month, and we're all going to come back together to keep the body connected. But at the same time, we're going to, in the next week or two, we'll when we have all the different locations and all the information, we'll be heading that direction. And that's why I'm speaking this tonight, because that's the direction we're going. Amen? God's will for our lives. Amen? And I believe that as we spend time together in God's word, that he's going to reveal a lot to us. And there's some things that are hidden in you that God has showed you that you really haven't even shared. But God's going to give you opportunity. Amen? And you're going to be a blessing to someone else. Amen? Anybody have any questions? Yes. Yeah.